Welcome to the first edition of what will hopefully be several more of the Theofantastique podcast. With this first edition today, we have an interview with my guest Ian Conkrich, who is a fellow at the Department of Literature, Film, and Theater at the University of Essex. And he is the editor of a book which came out at the beginning of this year titled Horror Zone, The Cultural Experience of Contemporary Horror Cinema by I.B. Torres. And Ian has come today to discuss this volume and its various contributors. We hope you enjoy it.
Sure. I think originally you were asking me by email about my own sort of beginnings of an interest in the horror genre. Horror film isn't the only... The horror film isn't the only area of film or cinema studies that I'm interested in, but it certainly was the first, and it certainly is still a major part of my research identity and studies. I've really came to the horror film as probably my first major interest in film, and really I think it's down to the fact that the household I grew up in was quite liberal-minded. My father was involved in film education to a degree, and there was a sort of an attitude around the home that as long as things weren't too extreme, I could watch certain films, and also I guess at an early age, as long as someone was there with me watching certain films, then that was fine as well. I think there's something about the horror film that does appeal to adolescent boys, the sort of something that supposedly you're not meant to see. Certainly, a horror film is a marker of a sort of an adult viewing participation. So being able to see something that supposedly indicates you're more mature than you actually are. But I think the main factor beyond that was the sort of situation where I grew up in England with what you could call the video age. My youth coincided with the rise of or the introduction of home video in the UK, which obviously coincides at the same time as it did in the US as well. So going to, as I've written about, not only partly in Horror Zone, but also in other articles I've written before, where I've pointed out that the first wave of the video age in terms of rental wasn't really the video shop. It was where you rented videos in the UK, primarily in the first phase, was actually from shops that were devoted to something else, like a launderette or grocers or wine shop or newsagents, which had a section or a carousel devoted to video. And so you would be going into those shops anyway for other reasons, to do your laundry or to purchase groceries, and you would be drawn to the video section. A lot of these films in the first phase were very low budget. The major studios didn't want to engage with video in the beginning because they thought it was actually going to be a disadvantage for them. It was going to be detrimental to their economic setup, and so initially a lot of the films that were released on video were more obscure, more unknown or forgotten films, and the way that they tried to appeal to the audience was with very sensational or lurid covers, the horror film suited this particular emergence. And when you get adolescent boys who have an interest in film, and I had both factors in a major way. Going into these shops and seeing these videos, I was very much drawn to renting these out and spending quite a lot of my weekends watching these films with friends. And that's really, I think, where I in a sort of developed in a major way towards watching a lot of productions from within the horror genre.
How did you shift from that personal interest and connection to an academic focus?
I think, again, as I say, I was brought up in a household where film wasn't just watched for entertainment. It had a serious appreciation. I would discuss the films that I watched with my father, not in a student teacher way, but certainly talking about what had been seen. Therefore, whatever I watched, I certainly would think about. I was involved in film education, taking film qualifications from the age of 16. I studied for a diploma in film at the age of 16. I was doing school qualifications. The earliest phase, in the first year they were introduced in the UK, I was studying for school qualifications as well in film. So the film studies, the actual film qualifications, were just adding to this vast knowledge of film that I'd already acquired, which wasn't just the horror genre. I was drawn a lot to national cinemas, to Japanese cinema, to the new German cinema, to New Zealand and Australian cinemas of the new wave. So it wasn't just the horror film, but I was able to pull a lot of knowledge together of films that I'd seen and then add to it the sort of theoretical depth.
One of the things I appreciate about your book, it resonates with my own academic background in cultural studies. And the things I appreciate about Horror Zone is its focus on the cultural parameters of horror. Why did you choose that focus rather than, you know, a lot of the books focus on various aspects related to interpreting and drawing out aspects of the text of film?
Yes. I think one of the big flaws of film studies is that a lot of people who have been drawn into film studies have come from other disciplines, English studies, philosophy, and they see film as a very exciting or sort of beautiful way to deal with theories that they already have, a very appealing way, certainly in terms of translating some of this to the students. And they are very much, too often in film studies, film is used as an excuse for a theory. And texts are over-theorized, over-analyzed. They're taken out of context. And what Horror Zone very much is aiming to do, or has aimed to do, is to place these films firmly in a context, whether it's a cultural, historical context, whether it's in contemporary situations, or very much within a cinema context or society context, placing these films within the spaces in which with which they're engaged with or distributed or presented.
Well, it certainly has been an enjoyable read, what I've looked at so far. I don't know to what extent you feel comfortable commenting on some of the perspectives of the contributors to your volume, but perhaps you could just share a few thoughts about your own impressions about what some of the contributors have put forward. One of the things that intrigued me is how one contributor touched on theme park rides that are connected to horror, which are certainly one of the things I enjoy whenever I'm able to partake in such things. Can you touch on, maybe give a few examples of some of these rides and their connection and why they're so popular today, at least in America?
Well, rather than on a specific chapter, I think what is good to emphasize is that I think within film studies, one of the areas of academia where those people who are researching and teaching and studying film is actually strongest in terms of people who actually do have a genuine connection with the films that they are studying, is the horror genre. There are a lot of people writing on the horror genre, and within that, there is a very healthy community that actually, for want of a better term, but it's a fair term, are fans as well as academics. A lot of these writers that are in Horror Zone, like myself, grew up watching these films and have a genuine appreciation and respect for the films that they're discussing. They're not just discussing them because they happen to provide a convenient vehicle for presenting a theory that they like. So these people, they are theorists as well, but they have a strong desire to place the films within a cultural and cinematic context, and their appreciation of film from a fan aspect is very evident within what they write. There is a strong attachment to actually understanding these films within a context. And the range of articles and the range of writers we have cover, as you've just mentioned, theme park rides or the horror film on the internet, horror fan conventions, special effects on the horror film, costume design in the horror film. My own article or contribution to the collection looks at the Friday the 13th films as a modern Grand Guignol, which is interesting not only in what goes on in the Friday the 13th films, but also how the audience connects to those films. What is the relationship between the audience and the Friday the 13th films that makes those films so appealing or special to that particular cult audience? You've picked on the theme park rides, which is an article by Angelina Naglianis, and I think that is a very interesting chapter because it's not always the first thing you would think of to write about in discussing the horror film. And what Angela points out is that the horror experience at the theme park goes right back. It goes back 100-odd years or more, where these sort of fright rides are very much part of the theme park experience. Now, there has, though, in the last 20 or so years, been a greater move between films themselves and the theme park to replicate or to imitate an experience, which is all part of the way in which contemporary film in general is very much exhibiting these synergies between different elements of culture. What I guess are the most striking examples you have in the U.S. At the Universal Studios, several rides devoted to, I believe several rides there are now, devoted to the Mummy films.
Yes.
There is in the U.K. A ride devoted to the Saw films. And you would think that certainly the Saw films, where I believe most of them had in the U.K. an 18 certificate, which is the highest cinematic certificate you can be given, are then, well, most of them did, some of them had 15 certificates as well, but then to have a theme park ride where people engage with an identity related to those films is, I think, a very interesting development of modern cinema.
Synergy is fascinating to me, and to continue on that thread, you also have a chapter that addresses horror fan culture. Which I am proud to be a part. What kind of synergy do you see between horror fan cultures and filmmaking? Does it only go from the film to fan culture, or are we starting to see some kind of influence the other direction as well?
Well, no, I think horror fan conventions have certainly grown in popularity. Again, they can be traced some way back. What is interesting about that particular chapter by Matt Hills, I've sort of encountered a number of general fans who have read that chapter, and they sort of only see the initial level of what the article is actually saying. They in a way think it's actually on one level stating the obvious, but it goes far beyond that. It's actually trying to understand the community effect, the community function of these conventions. What makes these gatherings, not only the conventions, but the special screenings and the special events, the situations where fans can meet the stars or get preview clips. What is so important about those events for bringing people together? And you'll find it not just within horror fan communities, you'll find it in many other communities like comic book communities or you'll find it in various dance communities, in sort of club cultures, where people are engaging with a subculture. They're forming their own communities. And I think what horror fans often overlook is that what they're part of is actually an incredibly rich, powerful, and important happening, which Matt Hill's article is, I think, extremely enlightening in trying to understand what the function and appeal of these conventions and festivals is.
Two other chapters were of particular interest to me. Not only am I involved in cultural studies, but also religious studies, particularly in the area of new religious movements. And you've got one chapter that addresses horror in relation to Antichrist and the millennium. How do you see that type of horror continue to be popular and develop in the 21st century?
Well, if I can step back a little bit and just maybe continue from the point we were talking about a moment ago of fans and conventions, I think what certainly is interesting as a more recent development, I think horror is becoming more central to everyday lives in the Western world, maybe even beyond that, where I think what's happening is very visible communities are emerging where horror is becoming actually a form of religion, certainly a form of cultural belief. I think of the way in which there are repeated images and videos that I'm now being exposed to of people gathering dressed up as zombies, wandering down a main street as a crowd of zombies. That is a subculture in a very strong way. It's a strong cultural gathering, but there is within it a form of religion almost, sort of a following. A way of life. I'm not saying they're like that every day, but there is this sort of attraction that is bringing people much more together through the horror film, where people aren't necessarily now referencing a particular film or saying that they're a fan of a particular film, but they're now a fan of a particular attitude, of a particular behaviour. And I think that's very interesting. To go actually to the chapter you're talking about, that's part of the last section of the book where I asked a number of contributors to think about the boundaries of horror. Horror very much does deal with boundaries, but I wanted the contributors to think about those boundaries which have reoccurred throughout contemporary horror films, but which have been overlooked, taken for granted. So not only is there a chapter devoted to the large number of movies that came out in the few years just before the turn of the millennium, that dealt with Antichrist, that dealt with religion, that dealt with the occult, but also the chapter before it deals with Nazi horror films, of which there are a large number as well, and the way that they are very much sitting on a particular border or boundary of taste and of narrative, and the chapter before that deals with the relationship between pornography and the horror film and the similarities between the corporeality of the two, and the chapter after the Antichrist chapter deals with this sort of new Gothic cinema, the sort of the Buffy type depiction of connecting young girls to witchcraft, adolescence, and the supernatural.
Yes, could you touch a little bit on that chapter? One of the new religions that I've done some research and writing on is contemporary paganism and witchcraft. What kind of connection do we see between horror and film and television and witchcraft as it's depicted in these genres?
I think all I'll just say there is, yet again, you have another very clear synergy of television and cinema, and the relationship between those two is becoming quite powerful and quite interesting, where I think a lot of people's exposure now to some of the strongest horror narratives is on television, through television series. If it's not Buffy, it's Angel or Charmed. There are a lot of these popular series, almost all of them coming out of the US, that are devoted to a new Gothic cinema in which adolescence is foregrounded, in which there's almost a coolness, certainly a seduction and an appeal in having a supernatural power.
Perhaps have plans for a future volume. Might that be a possibility?
Sure. I have other projects to commit to first, as I mentioned, other areas of film that I also deal with. But I think what is pleasing about Horror Zone, and I'm very proud of the book. I've edited and co-edited a number of books now, 11, 12 books now, and I actually do think this is the best one that I've done. And the contributors to the book are excellent. They are the best writers out there dealing with this particular approach to the horror genre, which is placing the films in context. They cover the breadth of approaches that are possible. But yes, there is much scope for another volume to be added to this in maybe a number of years' time, because this particular approach to the horror genre is only at the beginning. A book like this, there is no other book that has taken this particular approach, and there is space for another book to develop that.
Online, in fact, I first heard of the book through an article in the Chronicle of Higher Education online that was talking about this renaissance in academic horror studies. And it listed your book, and I tracked it down through the Internet and through Amazon and was intrigued.
I wouldn't say there's a renaissance in the horror film writing. There's been a massive flood of horror writing for quite some time now. And I actually feel that, you know, if you look at the various genres that are written on for film studies, melodrama, science fiction, Western, film noir, the crime film, the musical, the horror film is miles ahead in terms of the quantity of books published on it. And I think part of what's fueling that is that the horror film is the only, almost the only one of those genres which actually also incorporates fan writing as well. So it's not just academics writing on the horror genre. I think you get three types. Maybe you get four types. You get the academic. You get the academic who also has been a fan, which I'd put myself in the category of, which my contributors are. You get those people who are fans, and in between the fans and the academic fan are fans who actually write like academics without really meaning to, who actually write very well. So what I'm trying to say is that you actually have a recognizable number of fans who are not academics who actually are writing books that academics use. And then you look at it the other way, you're getting books that academics write, which the fans are buying. And right. That type of relationship you do not find with any other genre in film studies. The only one that potentially could have that is the science fiction film. But strangely, books on the science fiction film are not being written about that much, not in terms of academia or fan studies. Where it is written about in science fiction studies is particular films like Star Wars or Blade Runner. But the actual study of the science fiction genre, for some reason, is way behind. It's lacking. And I think what I really wanted to do with Horror Zone was I do feel that the horror genre, in terms of writing, has for a little while, to a significant degree, gone round in circles. A lot of people are producing books which are saying nothing new to what has already been said in another book. So, and I think what partly fuels that is a lot of horror books are also purchased for the images. So you can get a book has some great images that have never been seen before, or the book's been very well produced in terms of a glossy, well-presented design. The text doesn't really do anything new, but a fan would actually buy the book for maybe, you know, a great selection of posters or unseen publicity images. And again, you don't quite get that with the other genres. And what the horror genre was not doing was not stepping back, or has not really been properly stepping back and thinking about the actual community and crowd that is producing and consuming this material. where you actually get entire companies devoting themselves or entire producers devoting themselves to making horror films. Obviously, if you go further back, you've got Hammer that was doing that to a large extent. But you have independent producers doing that now. Obviously, Roger Corman doing it in the past as well. But actually stepping back from the films themselves and trying to understand, contextualize, comprehend the processes of marketing, of distribution, of reception, of consumption, how these forms then engage with other cultural forms like the theme park rides, like the internet, to actually look at the text itself in a way where it's then broken down. So you're not just theorizing it, but you're actually trying to understand its construction, like set design, like the special effects. That's where Horror Zone is coming from. And I think it achieves it very... I'd say this, wouldn't I, because I've edited the book, but I think it achieves it very well and does fill that gap within the horror film studies. And yes, hopefully there can be another book in the not-too-distant future.
Clearly, that's right. Most definitely.
Particularly on the horror publishing industry, because it is a major industry.
It looks very good. I am impressed at many levels by what you put together there, so I appreciate it.
No, thank you. I appreciate your interest.
Well, thank you.
And that's it. Thank you for tuning in to the first edition of the Theofantastique podcast. We hope to bring another one to you soon.